It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So the great thing about going downtown or to the south side at night is not having to pay for metered parking, right? Well, not for long, perhaps. The Pittsburgh City Council is discussing collecting money after 6 p.m. and whether money collected from metered parking in nighttime hotspots should be reinvested in those communities, in public safety, public works, and capital investments. And a vote is coming next week. I'm joined now in studio by Pittsburgh City Council President Bruce Kraus. Bruce Kraus, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
So why do this now? Why? I know it's been discussed in the past, and now here we are in the winter of 2016, and people still love going down to the Southside Flats, particularly on the weekends to party. And so why should they be made to pay for parking after 6 p.m.?
So let me back up a little bit and I'll lay a foundation.
Sure.
So this conversation has been going on for a number of years now. About 4 years or so ago, the city contracted with an organization known as the Responsible Hospitality Institute. And through the course of 3 years, we did what I like to call a searching and fearless moral inventory of where we are with all the different complexities of the South Side and how to solve some of the challenges that we have faced for decades now. And of course, one of them is around transportation and the importance of transportation. And what we have learned is that we can connect our inability to provide substantive transportation to violence and crime. And so we compared the two and tried to put together a holistic strategy of how we could sort of kill two birds with one stone, provide for better transportation, provide relief for residents that need to live here at the same time, and also reduce crime. And so we came up with a strategy that we look at as a parking investment district. And it was a recommendation that came out of the work that we did with Responsible Hospitality. So I want you to know that we did not do this in haste or that it was not well thought out or well researched, because we did it over a couple of years. And what we have come up with and what we know definitively by the data that we have collected, that number one crime in Southside Flats is vehicle break-in. It's followed by assault, whether that be physical assault, simple assault, or sexual assault. And we looked at the fact that we have cars that are parked in congested residential areas where people that have come to participate in the South Side are going into those residential areas late at night. They are often distracted, perhaps. Maybe have had a little too much to drink, might be on a cell phone. And what we have learned, and the media has reported, that there are those that don't have the best interests of our visitors at heart and are lying in wait, and they want to take advantage of those opportunities. So they're either breaking into vehicles and or assaulting our customers, and that's just simply unacceptable. We don't want to see that happen. So we partnered the public safety piece with the transportation piece and came up with this plan that by collecting meter revenue from 6 p.m. on, we can create a pot of money that will be sequestered specifically for policing, for public work services, and for transportation services. And we'll define that as we move about the public conversation about how best to do that. But the most important element of that is to make certain that we get police on the street, that we can pay for those police to be on the street, and that we can permeate residential areas with the police as well. Second, if we are, once we have that in place, and the residential permit parking program is in place in the residential areas, we are offering 900 free parking spots at the 2nd Avenue lot. This is underneath the 10th Street Bridge, which is donated by the Pittsburgh Parking Authority and will be subsidized through monies that we are raising to provide a circulator, so that if you want to still come to the South Side and you don't want to choose to pay for metered parking in the main street, you can still park in residential areas, but you'll be limited to 2 hours. And if you want totally free and unrestricted parking, you can choose to use the circulator and you can park in the 2nd Avenue lot.
So that's across the 10th Street Bridge?
Across the 10th Street Bridge. We do it every single day for the better part of 20-plus years. We put 900 cars a day in that lot. We use the Pittsburgh Transportation Group to shuttle those people to jobs throughout downtown Pittsburgh.
And could they be shuttled to across that bridge?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah, that's my point.
On a Saturday night.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's my point. It's not something that we have not already done for the better part of 20-plus years. We just want to reverse it to what we call the alternate 9 to 5. And so with that, what we hope to show over time is a marked decrease in vehicle break-in because we will be sequestering vehicles into lighted, secured, patrolled, policed locations, and to watch drastic reduction in assault because we will take the customers, our visitors, back to their cars at the end of the night, and they too will be in lighted, sequestered, policed, patrolled locations.
So what you're saying is happening now is that people are, you know, parking in a, maybe going a few blocks to, you know, maybe, I don't know, up 18th or 16th or whatever it is
throughout,
parking somewhere where there isn't a meter, you know, maybe wait, you know, up the hill a little bit from the action on Carson Street, and that someone going to their car at 2 a.m. after the bars have closed, you know, if it's a not a particularly well lit area, that they could be followed or they could be attacked by someone waiting to get at them or their car.
Yes.
In the meantime.
And it's been reported. It's widely known, and media's reported it for quite some time now. And it's not something that I personally am willing to tolerate any longer. So it's more than just, boy, you know, we're greedy and we want to look at enforcing meter revenue past 6 p.m. There's a plan in place. It's well thought out. It's purposeful. And it's multifaceted. It will provide for better transportation. It will help reduce congestion, lower carbon footprint, help for public safety vehicles to move more freely throughout the Carson corridor, which is necessary because we hope to see those cars reduced. We want to encourage rideshare, Lyft and Uber and Yellow Cab and Valet. And more as we get a younger and younger market in the Southside Flats, we know that this millennial generation is not interested in vehicle dependency. They don't want to own cars and be saddled with cars. They like the idea of using rideshare. We want to encourage rideshare, especially if you are going to consume alcohol. Use rideshare, come in and circulate throughout the Southside. Use rideshare to go back home, and then there's no need to circulate for that proverbial free parking space.
All right, so you've heard the plan from City Councilman Bruce Krause. Now the question is, what do you think of it? 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Let's go to the phones. We have Joseph on the South Side, just the person we want to hear from. Joseph, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Joe.
I've lived on South Side over 60 years. There should have been a parking garage built on 18th and Sydney 15 years ago. I just wonder, how are you going to generate enough revenue to do all that? It's a good idea to have cars parked in Hazelwood or under the 10th Street Bridge, but how come there was never a parking garage built? You could accommodate at least 200 cars.
Well, Joe, that's a good question, but it's a time gone by. I can't undo what wasn't done in the past. We have looked at the options of building parking garages. They are incredibly cost prohibitive. They take quite some time, probably 10 years before they even begin to recoup their cost. And quite frankly, I don't think we have 10 years left to wait. We have about 900 free spaces right now that we can offer a free circulator system to and have it up and running in the next 90 days. And so I think that's a much more reasonable approach and puts much less onus on the taxpayer to foot the bill.
Joseph, thank you for that question. Again, taking calls at 412-246-2002 for Bruce Krause. One question that comes to mind is for residents on the South Side, there are a number of people who might have not wanted to walk and drove down to Carson Street and parked instead of walking however many blocks it might be to their residence. Those people, because that's where they live, are still going to be walking back to their residence, perhaps in a not particularly well-lit area, late at night. So those folks who might have had the option of parking on Carson Street are now going to have to walk back home or an area that's closer to their home where they can park. What about that kind of traffic?
So I, too, have been here for 62 years. And as a resident living on the South Side, I can tell you the number one reason that people choose to live in the South Side is its close proximity to be able to walk to just about anything. And we are a walking people. We love to be able to walk, and it is rare. In fact, I can never recall a time when a resident has come to me to say that they drove their car from Mary Street to Carson Street. And the reason that they don't is they don't want to lose that parking spot. It is so very precious that they wouldn't leave. I get the exact opposite comment. People say to me, Councilman, we are prisoners in our home. And I hear that repeatedly. And that people manage, residents manage their lives around their availability to be able to park when they return.
But if those residents are walking to and from Carson Street, aren't they potentially exposed to the same kind of violence that another person, non-resident might?
That's exactly why we want to raise this pot of money, so as to increase police presence and make them more available into residential areas.
So that will mean more patrols, more officers on duty. How will that manifest itself?
That's exactly right. And I met with the chief of police yesterday, which I'd like to preface my remarks by saying this has the support of the district attorney. It has the support of the mayor, our public safety director, our chief of police, our zone commander, and myself as the councilman. And it's a unified endorsement of this plan. So what we want to do, and what I met with the chief yesterday to talk about, is first and foremost, when we're able to assemble this pot of money and we know how much we have, the very first thing we want to do is change the policing strategies that we have used for years, which we know have been ineffective, or you and I wouldn't be here having this conversation today, and begin to plan this new unit that will be deployed specifically for Southside Secondary Detail. And the plan has already been crafted by our zone commander, and to have walking patrols on both East Carson Street, but also on side streets as well, too. We know the importance of business's effect on community and community's effect on business, and it's a comprehensive approach.
How much could be made from extended parking monitoring between 6 p.m. and midnight? What are the projections?
So I want to be careful because we haven't defined the exact footprint of what the parking investment district will look like, but we're estimating somewhere around $300,000 to maybe even as high as $500,000 a year.
That's a pretty good pot of money.
It is a good pot of money, and I think it is much more effectively used. I have asked our chief and our finance director to put together what we have spent doing saturation policing, meaning additional patrols to come in and try to manage the somewhat miscreant behavior at times that happens on East Carson Street, and how much onus that has put on taxpayers, because I'm going to argue it's been millions of dollars over the years.
One question that I would ask, and this is maybe unrelated to what occurs on weekends on Carson Street in the South Side flats, because let's face it, a lot of people come down here. It's a pretty active area.
And we want them to come down.
Sure you do.
And I want that message to be resonated loud and clear.
And clearly what you're saying is you want people to be able to come down and party safely and get home in one piece. But there have also been some incidents, and I don't know, if you can take this pot of money and use it to extend beyond the immediate Southside Flats business district area onto, say, the Riverwalk. We've seen reports of joggers down there being held up at gunpoint.
Yes.
People walking to automatic teller at the Giant Eagle parking lot area and being held up. Can some of that be used to patrol those areas as well?
So I want to be careful to manage expectations, and my biggest desire is to not set this up for failure. I want to start it slow, and I want to grow it. I like to call it a soft opening.
Is it a possibility, though?
Oh, absolutely, it is a possibility, but I don't want to make false commitments that we can't follow through with. So we're going to focus on the core element, which is the East Carson Street corridor and the impact that it's having in the residential area, and then take it out from there. But again, I just want to manage expectations. I want this to succeed. We have worked on this for so very, very long, and I'm not going to do anything that might jeopardize its ability to succeed.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Tim on the South Side. Hi, Tim. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question is for the shuttling of the people from the 2nd Avenue parking garage. What would happen if somebody drank too much and was not able to drive after going out on the South Side? Would their vehicle be towed out of there for, let's say, the following day, or would they just pay another fee, extra parking fee? Because I feel like it would maybe if someone thought they were going to get towed, they would probably try to drive drunk other than leaving their vehicle there.
So that's a really good question, and I'm glad you brought it up because we do have an answer to that. We have an agreement with Mr. Honorado, who heads the parking authority, that we can keep the lot open and you can leave your vehicle there until 12 noon the next day. If you should return to your vehicle and not be able to drive, we will have alternate transportation there, wow, whether that be yellow cab, whether that be Lyft or Uber or a rideshare program of some kind. And we're also looking at the possibility of perhaps even creating a space there to have some food trucks available for late at night, because we know people like to vend late at night, and that's always been problematic because they stay in the neighborhood a little too long. And then, of course, we, you know, get complaints about residents and the noise and the garbage and those kinds of things. So return them back to the Second Avenue lot, provide perhaps some opportunities to eat something and a different ride home, and leave your car till noon the next day.
That sounds like a great idea. So, Tim, thank you for that call. And what you have to make sure that you do is that you're not so hungover that you can't get back by noon the next day, which can sometimes be a problem for people that party a little too much. Let's go to Paula in Forest Hills. Hi, Paula.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, Paula.
Yeah, I just recently returned to Pittsburgh. I'm from here, and everything on the south side is new to me. A friend and I went to the Hard Rock Cafe one evening last summer, near Station Square. How far is this parking that he's talking about? Because we couldn't even find parking then at 11 o'clock at night. They were charging in that area.
Well, yeah,
it was a real hassle running around trying to find somewhere to park.
So, Paula, we're looking at right now probably between 10th and 24th Street would be the target market right now, but I'm willing to open it up and grow it to larger markets like Southside Works and Station Square, but it's not in the plan at this time, mainly because the Station Square and Southside Works both do have their parking lots or parking garages, and they also have internal security.
Thank you, Paula, for that question. A listener on Twitter asks, isn't it possible that extending paid parking hours could drive vehicles to range farther and compete more fiercely for free spots?
Good question, but no, I don't believe so. The residential permit parking program, which has been instituted in the last year or so, which is a resident-driven program, residents petitioned for it, met criteria, and it was approved by Planning Commission and Council. So it is in place in the residential areas. It is part of the legislation that you cannot create these investment districts unless there is a certain amount of residential permit parking around the business district. We don't want to see cars bleed into residential areas. If you choose to park there, you're going to be limited to 2 hours, but after 2 hours, you're going to have to move your car.
All right, we're getting very tight on time, so we need to go quickly through these last couple of calls, starting with Dave in Braddock Hills. Hi, Dave, you're on with Bruce Krause.
Yeah, I have a question. What's the correlation that you brought up between parking and crime? The thing is, I don't see the statistics that back that up, because parking and crime, where does that come into play? Because crime is basically a fluid thing.
Sure. So what we know for a fact is the number one crime throughout the city is vehicle break-in. Number one crime in Southside Flats is vehicle break-in. We want to remove those cars from unpatrolled areas, put them into lighted, secured, sequester patrolled areas, and I believe we will watch a drastic reduction in the number one crime throughout the city. And then the second one, of course, is assault, and I explained that earlier as well, too. If we can remove return our visitors back to their cars in lighted, secured, sequestered, patrolled locations, I believe we'll see that crime drop as well.
Let's go to Mark in North Hills. Hi, Mark. Go ahead with your comment or question for Bruce Krause.
Hi, Councilman. I'm a former Southsider. I live in the North Hills now. When I started a family, and I think it sounds like a good plan. A couple comments. First of all, if you use words like circulator, I don't think most people are going to understand what you're referring to. And the second point is, the devil's in the details. If you want people to park on under the bridge, you're going to have to run vans more often than every half hour. How about an app that shows where the current bus is so you know when you when to step out from the bar so you're not standing on the corner for 20 minutes? So,
interesting suggestion, Mark.
No, thank you for bringing that up, because we had a meeting in the district attorney's office just last Friday with Pittsburgh Transportation Group, and they do have an app. And so there will be an app available for the circulator, and we know the importance of tying it to a smartphone and encouraging people to locate the circulator on their smartphone. So you will have access to an app, and you will know in real time where the circulator is and where you can pick it up.
All right. Last quick question for you, Councilman, and that is, I know this is a pilot program, something you're trying out here in the Southside Flats, but with an eye toward expanding it to maybe places downtown, the theater district perhaps, having parking, paid meter parking between 6 and midnight, in a time when the city is trying to encourage people to go downtown, could this discourage people if they have to pay for parking on the street?
So, again, I think we need to back up. I think we got the cart before the horse. The legislation we're passing gives the ability for the city to create these districts.
Right. I'm not saying that it's going to happen,
we're going to pilot it in the South Side, and we're going to see how that happens. And then the other areas that have large nighttime entertainment districts, it is going to be up to those areas to determine whether this is going to be an effective strategy for them as well.
Will a city council vote be taken on those separately?
So, yeah, oh, absolutely. And those have to be driven by what is a recognized community organization, has to petition to have it, and it also has to have the support of the council member.
Perfect. Well, we will be following
Thank you, Paul.
The vote next week on whether to have metered parking extended during 6 to midnight hours in the Southside Flats. We've been talking with the man presiding over that, City Council President Bruce Krause, who represents the Southside. Councilman, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we'll meet a couple of Olympic marathon hopefuls from the Steel City. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.